You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following program is sponsored by the International Lutheran Layman's League.
You know how you plant a tree in the yard? It's young and small, and it grows. And eventually it becomes one of those features of the family that's called an old friend.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. That great oak standing in the backyard of your home is an old friend. Despite its age, you don't feel sorry for it at all, because it has given you pleasure over the years. Dr. Oswald Huffman has some old friends whom he'd like to have you meet today. They are Augusta Wipke, 80 years old, and Carl Schmidtke, who is 82. Joining them and Dr. Huffman in a stimulating conversation on the process of aging are Virgil Fuchs, administrator of the Division of Community Services at the Lutheran Home and Service for the Aged in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and Victor G. Zaremba, Assistant Vice President, Aid Association for Lutherans, with a specialty in family health. And now, here is Dr. Huffman.
You going to retire one of these days, Vic?
Well, not too long from now. I'll be retiring, yes.
So you're looking at this not only professionally, but personally.
That's right. I have a personal interest in it and a professional interest in it because I believe that through my professional outlook on retirement, I am better prepared to retire on a personal basis.
And Virgil, you're working with older people all the time,
right?
Not only in a home like this one, but also with many people outside this home. Tell us, how older people look to you?
A person who is 75 years old is quite a youngster to a person who's 95 years old. So, you know, 10, 15, 20 years means a lot to older people, just as it does to younger people. So I find that older people are individuals. They're not all the same. And I've found it's really been delightful having my eyes opened.
I was just looking in the eyes of Carl Schmidtke here, and I must say, I've looked at some younger people who didn't have the light in the eye that he's got here. In fact, I've seen some younger people who were old long before their time. Now, you're 82 years of age. How does it feel to be 82?
Well, I feel young as far as that goes, and I feel real spry. I'm healthy. Through the help of God, of course, all my life I've been that way. And I've received wonderful blessings. So I can't complain one bit.
Mrs. Wipke, how do you feel? Say, you ought to see how pretty she is.
I feel
and lovely gray hair.
And I don't feel old.
How long ago was it that you lost your husband?
27 years ago.
How did that feel at that time?
Terrible. Just simply terrible. I just couldn't get over it. Took me years to really get over it. And to this day, it still comes to my mind. There's never a day that I don't think of him. Although I would never wish him back again, because he was a man that could not really take care of himself. He was kind of spoiled.
Isn't that true of most men?
Yeah. And I often think to myself, as much as I missed him, I am glad he went ahead of me.
You lived together with another woman
together,
for a while.
Lived together, yes, my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived with me for 35 years.
You were telling me how you went out to the cemetery all the time.
Oh, it's all I used to do is go to the cemetery, and I just really got a little disgusted with myself. And when your grandchildren tell you that they're going to move to a different house and it's going to be close to the cemetery, that Grandma can go there oftener, that was enough. I thought, no, this is going to stop.
Well, you lost your wife how many years ago, Carl?
21 years ago.
How'd that feel?
That was a shock. She had been suffering a good many years. Of course, we expected it sooner or later. The only thing is, we always kept on hope. My wife always said she knew she'd never reach the 50th anniversary. So when we reached our 40th anniversary, she said, I'm going to celebrate. But we never did. She was too sick.
Yeah.
See, she died of cancer. Mm-hmm. Of course, as Christians, naturally, we took it in a good spirit. You know, it was God's will to do that. We both had a good spiritual training. Mm-hmm. Went to what we call at that time German school. Well, that was parochial school today, you know. So that helps a whole lot when you realize that God is always there to bless you. Even in death, you're blessed. And that's the way I felt, and I was blessed.
You know, some Christians feel a little bit ashamed when they grieve over the death of somebody. And if I read it correctly, the apostle was telling people like you that it's not a shame to grieve at all.
No.
But he said, grieve as those who have hope, not as those who don't have
that hope.
Any. Well, what is your hope of salvation?
What is my hope of salvation? That I'm going to live with Christ the rest of eternity, however long that'll be.
When did you learn that?
I learned that in a German school when I was 11 years old. And it always stuck with me. It always stayed.
Mrs. Wipke, you did have some financial problems, I know, after your husband died.
After my husband passed away.
You really didn't have a lot of plans for retirement,
and you had very
little money, and I think you had to struggle for a while.
I lived in the house 7 years after he passed away. I got no Social Security. I got no railroad pension from my husband because I wasn't old enough. I was 54 when he passed away, and I wouldn't get my railroad pension till I was 62.
Well, Vic, you meet people who haven't done too much planning, don't you?
I was very much interested in the discussion about the finances, and because in our pre-retirement planning that we work with people from age about 55 to 65, and we're talking about their finances, of course, we go through the whole area of finances, including the Social Security, any pension and retirement programs that they may have, and many of them have a fairly good substantial monthly income. Yet, if people rely solely upon that, they're very unhappy people. And they're unhappy because they know that the finances alone won't carry them through. Yeah. They must have real, sincere trust and faith in the Lord, that He is going to guide and direct them, and that they use their money for their daily living and whatever their needs are, but also so that they can continue to contribute to their church for the furthering of God's kingdom through their synod or however they can do it. Then they are blessed and they have no problems as far as finances are concerned when they have that faith.
Yeah.
Now, I've talked to people that don't have that. And, you know, they keep right on worrying. I've got friends that just always wonder, well, now, I'll just use a figure, $1,000 a month be enough? That's quite a bit of money. But they're still worrying. But when I talk to people like you, and others that I've talked to, and they have this abiding faith, they don't worry about it.
Well, Virgil, do you find that the spiritual health of people plays a big role in old age as well as other kinds of health that you have to deal with?
Very much. In fact, I would say with almost every older person or every older family, their spiritual life has been perhaps a predominant part of their lives. I find that with older people, as they get closer to that time when death approaches, the meaning of their faith becomes more real, perhaps more immediate. That particular subject was not too comfortable for me when I first started working with older people, and I found a very beautiful acceptance of both life and death because of the faith of the people that I was talking with. It's just natural as people get older that there are some losses, loss of vitality in certain ways. Eyesight begins to diminish often. There's some loss of hearing frequently. These things do cause problems. Various illnesses are very common. Arthritis is a very common illness. This creates problems, of course, for people in shopping. Sometimes when health problems get a little bit too much, people find that what once was a delightful home or apartment becomes almost a prison. And things that they used to enjoy, like working in the yard, even cleaning or washing windows, shopping, those things become burdens. They become more than they can handle. When those things start to happen, then people begin to take a look at other kinds of living situations. Now, in the United States, some years ago, it was very common for children to take their parents into their own homes when the parents got older. That has been changing over the last 15 or 20 years, perhaps even longer. Houses are not quite as large as they used to be. The pace of life is faster. There's more coming and going. And this doesn't always prove to be a good solution. Occasionally it works, but I found not too often.
Well, now we're talking to a lot of people today who are getting ready to retire, Vic. What do you think they ought to be thinking about before retirement?
Well, as we are working with people, once we deal with the area of finances, that they have evaluated what they're going to be getting, then we can begin to talk about the other areas of their retirement, such areas as what are they going to do with their leisure time? Now, after 65, and I would guess maybe for the next 10, 15 years, people can be real active, and then they need to have something to do. Now, it's been my thinking that people should be retiring to something, not from something. If you haven't a hobby, then develop a hobby. Think back in your early days, things that you wanted to do, but probably never had time to do because your education and vocation took you off in a different direction. There's a case of a man who always liked music, but he never could do anything in the line of music because he wasn't professionally skilled. So he learned to tune pianos. And he used that as a hobby. But after people began to know that he was pretty good at tuning pianos, he got to be so busy, you know, that it turned from a hobby to a vocation.
Isn't it true that young people ought to know that even though music lessons are kind of a chore, nevertheless, the time is going to come when that music is going to be very important to be able to enjoy yourself.
That's right.
Playing a little something or enjoying music as it's done by others is going to be very important to you, a lot more important than it is right now at 13 or 14. And isn't it true that whatever you're doing when you're young is going to be some kind of preparation for what you are when you're older? It's a good time to remember it.
When you're young, but that's the trouble. Most of the people don't figure when they're young. They're only figuring on how much money they can make, not what they're going to do when they get older.
That's what I hear so much now. And I always think money isn't everything.
I was going to add one thing, Dr. Huffman, that is, which I think is important for us Christians, and that is that as we are thinking about our leisure time, that we think more directly toward what we can do for our church, our own local church. For instance, helping the pastor visit the elderly or the sick, those that don't need the direct pastoral care. But I think we can make ourselves available for that. So that we can give of ourselves. And when we give of ourselves, we are helping other people too.
Drawing on that reservoir that you build up over those years. What kind of service like that are you able to do around here when you're living with a whole bunch of other people like you?
I visit everybody.
You do?
I visit everybody that I can come in contact with. Talk to them, pray with them, and give them a little acknowledgement as to scriptures. Read to them, you know. Once in a while, somebody come in there, like Reverend Steinhoff, come in there one day, he says, Mr. Schmidtke, will you read one of the hymns? I said, which one? He said, I don't know, but he remembered the name. So I looked it up to find out what the hymn number was. I read to him. You know, he can't see very well. He can see very little. He can get around on his wheelchair, but he can't see very good. So he likes to have people read to him. And I go into certain people when I know that they're ill, especially the close friends. You go to visit them, pray with them. I've done that all my life. I used to be what they call a visitor. You don't only visit the sick or the elder. You visit everybody.
Mr. Schmidtke, you've seen a lot of people move into the Lutheran home since you've been here. Don't you find that those people that make the fastest and the best adjustment are those people that are interested in other people and who are looking for opportunities to serve and to help and who really get involved?
A lot of people that come in here, they know they're coming into a new home. Most of the people that figure, what can I do for somebody? Like Mrs. Ebeling, she just came in here with her husband. first thing she wanted to do is visit the people that are sick, the people that needed somebody to read to or something like that. And others, again, when they come in here, I'm retired. I don't want to do anything anymore. See, that's the trouble with so many people.
Yeah.
But most of the people, I think, that come in here, they really enjoy it and want to make something of their life.
You know, I get the impression that you're able to talk to people and to talk to them about just about anything, you know? You're alive. You're alive in Christ, and you're alive in other ways, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
And I noticed that Mrs. Wipke is, too.
Yes.
Isn't that a great thing, to be alive this way?
I'm here a year and a half, now. I have enjoyed every minute of being here. I try to help others a little bit. I go to visit others upstairs. But I am looking forward to getting old.
You are?
Yes.
I'm never going to get old.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Old.
But get old, but stay young.
That I have in mind, too. Yes, that's right. That I have that in mind. Of course, the arthritis is what's hindering me, you see. Sometimes I can't walk as good. The walk from my room is getting a little harder to the dining room, but I'm making it. I'm not moving. I'm staying.
But you're always there when I say grace.
Always. I'm always there. I never miss.
Now, you don't look to me like people who feel neglected. I do think older people sometimes feel neglected.
Well, I think it's because of their past life. Say, if they have children, maybe they don't get along with them, and they feel sort of discarded, you know.
Why do you think so many older people feel neglected?
Because their children don't love their parents.
That's it.
How would they show that love to them, best of all?
Well, first of all, I would say to visit to them, write to them, or wherever they are. I know of one instance where a woman, her son lived somewhere way out west or something. She hadn't heard from him for a year, didn't even write to him. She felt neglected, you know what I mean?
Certainly.
It was the only son she had. When you get to these people, you always say, well, never mind what your son says. Christ is closer to you than your son. He'll take care of you. He writes to you in the daily devotions that we have here, and take those into consideration.
What can older people do to make younger people feel welcome when they come to see them, so that they enjoy coming to see older people?
You see, that's the difference. When people get older, even if they get visitors, they don't enjoy visitors. You know what I mean? They should show them that they love them and that they're glad that they came. Tell them to come again. Come soon. Don't just come again. Come soon.
That's right. That's right. I know it.
Yeah.
My daughter comes every 2 weeks, and I talk to her 3 times a week.
You talk to her on the telephone?
On the telephone, yes.
Hmm. Well, women have always visited on the telephone, haven't they, for years and years? That's natural to women.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
That's true.
Well, I have a wonderful family. I have a good son-in-law and a good daughter, and they do everything for me.
That's the way I feel. I got two sons and I got two good daughters.
You know, a lot of people wish they could say that because they don't have that feeling.
That's
sometimes I have the impression that older people don't listen to their children, and for that reason the children are not particularly anxious to visit them because they don't listen. Children come and talk about their concerns, and the older people must make an effort to listen to what the children have to say to them, and the grandchildren, too.
I do. I listen to my daughter, anything she tells me. They felt terrible when I left the home. I had made up my mind and was afraid to tell them. And it's coming to the time where I had to tell them. It was getting to a day's notice. And so I told them one night, and they never said a word. And when I got through telling them what I was doing, I went up to my room. I thought, now let them think about it and talk about it. So they did. I didn't talk to them no more that night. They didn't say anything. But the next morning, they says, well, Grandma, if that is what you want, then we're with you.
That's the way to
be. And we'll let you go. We don't want you to go. And when they brought me here that day, they went back home. I felt wonderful. I was perfectly satisfied. But when they got home, they went to bed. They couldn't sleep all night. They felt like they had kicked me out. Next day she calls me. She says, well, we feel like we kicked you out. I said, you didn't kick me out. I went on my own. I wanted to. But like I say, I had so many nights. They'd be out. I'd be all alone. But you cannot read all the time or look at TV. I got tired of that. And then I'd go to bed. And she says she knew that I was very lonesome.
Well, he brings up an interesting subject, and that is that the younger people can be very much involved with the older people in making a decision like this.
Yeah. Mrs. Lipke, you found, though, that when you were living with your children, even though you and your children got along together very well, that you were actually lonely.
Very lonely.
Because you weren't with your own age group.
That's it.
And because of your age, you were somewhat restricted in getting around.
Yeah.
You weren't able to get together with friends of your own age, and as much as you enjoyed the younger people, it wasn't really satisfying to you. You weren't really completely happy living with the younger family.
No, I wasn't really happy until I got here. They feel so good about it that I am happy, and they love it here.
Mrs. Lipke, so many younger people are finding it very difficult to talk, especially, say, with their mother or father, about some of the problems that begin to come. And they feel it's a Christian responsibility to take care of their parents.
Yeah.
And they often feel that they must do this in their own home. And yet they know it's not really working too well.
Yeah, they know that. Mm-hmm.
And it seems that they're very fearful of sitting down and talking with mom or dad about the fact that things are changing and that perhaps they need to make some different kind of plans. The great insult that young people can do to older people is not to include them in the planning, but instead begin to plan for them rather than with them. But when people plan behind an older person's back, and they're feeling rather guilty about it, you know, and then they finally sit down one day and they have to face it, and they say, Mom or Dad, we've been making plans for you to go to a home or something like that. And everybody's upset, and their bitterness lasts a long time.
Years ago, if you'd have sent your parents to an old people's home, that was a disgrace. That was terrible. I think it's the best thing. I think that's the way it should be, because the old people are happier. It's the same age here, you know, and that's what you want.
And it gives you a feeling of independence, too, along with dependence, doesn't it?
When I call up home, they tell me everything that's going on there. I get all the news. That's all I want.
You know, Vic, older people build up resources throughout the years, a lot greater than their children probably have at the moment, although that's not always true either. But I think it's worthwhile thinking about planning for that, too, don't you?
Well, I think this is applicable to young families, as well as those preparing for retirement, as well as those that are retiring. And that is that you put your legal house in order. In other words, that whatever estate you have, you make sure goes to whomever you want it to go. Also, if you have the finances, I think maybe some of it ought to go to the home, too, because that's where you are. It just depends upon how much you have. But the only way that that can be done is through a will. And if you die what technically is termed intestate, that means without a will, the state in which you live takes over, and they determine where your assets will go. If you have a will, then you can determine where it should go, some to the family or wherever, or to your church or to the home like this. And really, what you're doing there is the finances or the assets that you have that the Lord has blessed you with, you determine where it goes to furthering his kingdom.
I would like to ask you if each of you would think of one little thing that you'd like to say to people who are younger. Yes, Virgil.
Old age is a natural part of life. It's simply an extension of the younger years. And old age might include illness, but not necessarily. Youth might include illness, but not necessarily. I'm saying old age is natural, it's normal. It comes. We should plan for it. It can be very enjoyable. It may have problems, but just as in youth, I think our Christian faith sustains us in whatever comes.
Would you have something to say, Mrs. Lipke?
Well, like I says, I'm looking forward to the old age, and I feel very happy about it. I know that there is going to be something else that I'm going to see. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful life.
I remember when I got married, I took out some life insurance, as a man generally does when he gets married. The doctor examined me. The first thing he says, how old was your father when he died? And I says, what do you mean when he died? I thought I was taking out life insurance. I want to live. I told him he was only 74. He said, well, that's a pretty good age. How old was your father on your father's side when he died? I said, where do you get this stuff about dying all the time? I said, I'm taking out life insurance. I want to live. I don't want to die. I says, he's 92. He's 92. He's how old was your mother's father? I says, 94 when he died. No, they were still living at that time. I says, he's still living and he's 92 and the other one's 94. He says, you're okay. He says, we'll take care of you. He's, you're going to live to be 100.
Vic?
Well, I would say that we should include Christ in our plan. And I think that is sufficient for us each day as we get older. And if we live that way, each day will take care of itself. And if the Lord wills us to live to an old age, we are still in his hands, as we are as a young person.
Mm-hmm. It's been a great thing talking to all of you here today about old friends who are just as good friends when they're old, and probably better. Don't look now, you younger people, but someone is coming down the road to meet you. Down that road, 10, 20, or 30 years from now, he's waiting for you. That person is you in the golden years that God will give you. What kind of person are you going to be when you grow old? Will you have grown old gracefully? Will your friends call you blessed because you have meant so much to them? Or will you be fearful and insecure, worrisome, friendless, and alone? The kind of person you meet that day will be a composite of everything you say, think, and do today, and tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. What goes into your heart today and tomorrow will be in the heart of that man or woman with the white hair, which can be a great thing. It's a great thing when the green years become golden and you have something in your heart that really counts. And on this program, we're here to tell you that what really counts is faith in Jesus Christ, with the hope that faith gives and the joy that warms the hearts of the people who have the faith and those to whom the faith reaches out, as we reach out to you today, young and old. Have faith in Jesus Christ. It's important for you right now. Take Christ for yourself today, and he will stand by you tomorrow. Learn to live with Christ today. Tomorrow may be too late.